And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And I put it to you, Andy, that nothing is more 2024 than a Richmond player being concussed in a dangerous tackle for which the opposition player gets suspended for a week, but at the time received a holding the ball decision,
Which led to a goal.
which led to a goal.
Actually, I think it led to two goals because Vlossy was so frustrated he gave away a free kick in the next contest.
Or maybe he was still partially concussed.
Indeed. And I'm glad you've started this way, Nick, because I was thinking about what are we going to talk about this week? Because we sort of, last week we almost had the bottoming out conversation, and now we're kind of bouncing along the bottom. And I was just, I idly thought, what's the different content? As a joke, I started thinking, let's do at the end of the year a ranking of top 10 most heartbreaking injuries for Richmond this year.
Only 10.
And even without research, like I just started listing them off my head. Gipkus obviously is number one.
Yeah.
Lynch getting injured after our only good game. Maurice
Taranto.
Rioli Jr. Yeah, Taranto getting injured at training.
The
Like they're not just the injuries. They're all tragic in some way.
players getting injured on their comeback game from the same injury, would we list them separately or in the same category?
Well, that's the thing. The Hopper limping off after playing his best half for Richmond, that's a sneaky chance to make the top five,
Yeah.
and that's a pretty competitive top five.
Could I, for a left field top 10 selection, well, I think we'd have a couple from the past week. Sam Naismith tragically hurting his knee in the
Yeah,
VFL for
that
a
is so
fourth
tragic.
knee reconstruction. But even Lachie Street hurting his doing an ACL in the VFL, like he's our VFL captain. That was a kick in the guts.
I almost blame ourselves, Nick, because it feels like any
We're being
time,
punished for all that happiness. God damn it.
anytime we invest in something. Something bad. We invest in Maurice Rioli. Something bad happens. We're all
Yeah,
always
but
invested.
it's hard not to sound like a real whinger if all the woe is if you have to confine the woe is me to this year rather than the recent history, which was so successful we almost couldn't believe it at the time.
No, we couldn't. Well, you're right, but I mean, Lachie Street doing his knee after we spent sort of, we based at least two podcasts on our love for the VFL team. Like that was ridiculous. Anyway, it's the little thing that we should focus on a little bit more love to Naismith because thank goodness he got an AFL game in his
Yeah,
comeback
and
because that's probably.
what a super high character guy. Like I think, the we already have a couple of former ruckmen around the club, in coaching roles with Ivy and Hampson with the AFLW. But yeah, he's a really high character guy. Like if we could find a way to keep him around the club, that'd be a great result.
Yeah, just to fight back from those three injuries to work so hard in the VFL. He's such an admirable, and he was a good backup. Right now, inevitably, Nank will get injured in the next game, but I reckon he would not have been the worst if he'd sort of got a good solid block of senior player time as first ruck, and that's really the only the position he could play well in the AFL. I reckon he would have been all right. Like he
Yeah,
probably
no,
would have
definitely.
been sort of 12th, 13th best. Depending on who else was playing, but yeah,
It's a cruel game.
oh,
It's a cruel
it
game.
is. I will, even if he never plays another game for Richmond, I will remember him fondly.
Yeah, no, definitely. So, I really hated the Brisbane game. Like,
Yeah,
the
I know the goal kicking.
conceding the first 10 goals in a row, like Mansell getting injured, Lafau getting injured. Like, it's just seeing those Brisbane players who we've had such rivalry with be happy like that. Oh, how painful was that?
And they didn't even look by the end. I was speaking to a Brisbane fan the next day, and they weren't even that happy because, you know, they were just kind of, they weren't even killing us off because we were already dead. and on top of, weirdly, Nick, by most of the metrics, even though the scoreline was worse, it was actually better than the week before. But they just, they
somehow
kicked everything.
Somehow we were ahead in clearance.
In clearances, we're only minus 20 rather than minus 37 in the inside 50s, Nick. Big improvement. At this rate, we'll be winning it in 2 weeks' time. In the expected scores, we were, it was less than 100.
It was a fair bit closer. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, nothing, in no way are we suggesting this game was competitive, but even though it probably felt worse, it actually probably wasn't as bad as the Bulldogs game in some ways. Oh, God.
It's setting the bar pretty low.
It is, and like scratching, it's so, like, I've already done the Hugo Rowsmith redemption arc story on this podcast. He wasn't as good this week or through. It was a tough game on the outside. Are we going to resort to the Noah Cumberland comeback act after one game? Wait, look. And posted on Twitter, it was funny when he kicked that goal, when he kicked his first goal, he was so stoked because he's worked so hard to get back in the AFL. And then he kind of, there was an instinctive, yes, I'm back. And then the sort of, he remembered the game, the game situation and, correctly, subdued himself.
Toed it down. Yeah. He's had a tough year.
But like Hugo has been, he's been playing like, he played like he was desperate to keep his spot. He was really cracking in. He was running up and down the field. He turned up, he was top five in sprint efforts. Mm. Of course, he's, when someone says that, of course, what I mean is he was fifth. he cracked in. The only sort of dark spot of the game is I think he's one set shot. Show the absolutely miserable goal kicking. It went out of bounds on the full.
It's too much to go from his 25% goal scoring accuracy in the VFL to not missing a shot.
Yeah, so that it's not. It's. I was speaking to someone. Lots of people have this theory. Not to individualize it, but how much does a young player benefit from playing in these games? And I'm going, I'm not sure because they're so uneven, but I think the players who do benefit from this situation are the ones who are going to lose their list spot at the end of the year and are getting playing time because it gives them a chance. And I think Hugo and Cumby, Ben Miller.
I thought Ben Miller didn't disgrace himself.
It was actually our top-rated player on the AFL ratings, which is a bit of a junky. It's a one-game sample, and it's a bit junky
young,
when the, young the game.
Had
so
a,
I know
Young had a tough night at the office.
Yeah, he really did.
Like from the start, it was not great, unfortunately.
No, and maybe Young is one who was benefiting from this experience, like because he's old enough that. Yes, he did get his ass kicked, but you know, hopefully he'll be. A lot's been put on his shoulders, maybe he will be stronger for this experience. I don't know. Like, Kane McAuliffe was industrious, and
he was a positive.
He
tackled really hard. He had a stiff arm, which I deeply enjoyed. And he kept trying, and I also thought you saw, so part of, you sort of, you look at him and you wonder, how does a guy, so he's fast, like he tested really well in the draft camp, he's tough, he's got a long left foot kick. How does he drop to 40? And part of it was he wasn't all that damaging in his disposal. Like he'd sort of just settle for nothing handballs rather than trying to take the game on. And I thought there was a bit of that, but I also thought, well, surely that's going to be something he learns from the game.
Yeah, I think I agree. I don't like, if you watch what it was like for him in juniors, it's so different now, like the space and what he's doing. Like, it was almost frustrating in juniors that he wasn't backing himself in more when he was faster and better than most of his teammates. He was just on that. Correct me if I'm wrong. His stats weren't brilliant in the champs. Were they? Was he coming back from injury or something like that?
He had a bit of an interrupted year. His stats were good, but not great.
Interesting to see his progress.
Yeah.
And just since we're vaguely around the midfield, we move Shay. Perhaps part of our both down Shay had 7 clearances.
Yeah,
and Shay actually attended the majority of centre bounces. Maybe that had a little bit to do with our improvement in there. And Dion sort of toiled away there. Was slightly better for the run.
Moving Shay there does feel a bit robbing Peter to pay Paul, particularly with Maurice Rioli Jr. out, then Mansell being out and Campbell being out. Oh my God. If you want a stat of the week, Andy, what would you guess is the ratio of Richmond players injured during games and not being able to take part anymore to opposition players? Do you think it's 2-1? More than that? Less than that?
I would have thought, I would have started at 5-1.
Oh, no, it's not quite that bad.
Okay.
It's about 2.5-1.
It feels like, have we played a team yet? This is a toughie, but who've been one down on the bench?
No.
Whereas it's happened almost every week for us.
Not quite every week, but it didn't happen against the Suns, but it's happened a number of times. Quite a number. It's happened the majority of the games.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's not 80%. It's 75 at most. Anyway, well, obviously it's not that. We haven't played 20 games yet, but you know what I mean.
We've played 40 guys this in a season that's not even halfway done. Like, it's a really high COVID, weird COVID seasons notwithstanding, it's a really, really high number.
And it's not because what Dimmer's, the second highest team is the Suns, and that's because Dimmer's shuffling around his first round draft picks to see which ones work best.
Yeah.
Anyone else from the game? I'm sorry, it's not like I watched the game right to the bitter end.
Again, bless you. I was just LaFau getting injured because I thought he showed signs of, you know, this with regular supply that he could be dangerous. Flashes, but yeah, it was a gut punch.
Yeah, it was. Fortunately, that is one position where we have a pretty close to a like-for-like backup left. Of course, he's
fit. That's true. And one of rapidly
one of none.
Diminishing list of...
Well, midfielders were already past the point of, like, well past that point.
Yeah.
Defenders, if Grimes comes back, maybe...
Yeah, or Grimes and Baker are a chance to come back, and possibly Graham. Although you'd think that's a lot to.
Yeah, no chance. Surely
for a one match hamstring, but yeah, Baker would have been a chance.
I was looking at the game. knowing that Dreamtime's coming up in the second quarter, I was rechecking our injury list, hoping that the numbers had magically gone down and someone was coming back for us. And I was hoping Hopper might be back, but yeah. No, he's not close.
No. I thought, whereas Dan Rioli is going really well and probably leading the best and fairest, I thought Jaden Short had a pretty tough night, particularly on Lohmann.
Yeah, I agree. He was, the defensive cover wasn't great and some of the kicking. And Nick, we decided before the podcast we're going to have a Dusty Take free podcast.
This is a Dusty Take. We've got a few things to work through, but no, this is a Dusty free space.
What we said last week still stands.
Yep. Sam Lonergan's speech before the game. I'm an unambiguous positive for me. Just 100% genuine. Exactly what you'd want your development coaches to say.
Yeah, nice. Well found positive.
Hmm. I also, Steely Green, you know, all the defining features of him as a junior, he was an elite endurance runner, he had really good agility, he's quite small, and he tackles bigger players like a madman. And he did a bit of all of those things without winning all that much football.
Yeah, tough day at the office to the debut in that game. But, he had a crackers, which, of course, we expected him to. As did Coulthard, but didn't really impact the game. I think he had three disposals.
No, well, coming on as a sub,
Yeah, of course, yeah. Anyone else you wanted to highlight?
Not really.
No,
I did not enjoy it very much at all.
No, it's just hard to analyze, especially when you've got back-to-back games like that. You run out of unique takes about awfulness.
there was a couple of random things I wanted to mention. The one was, while we're ignoring the dusty media train, Damien Barrett crusading for Brendan Gale to leave early. When Benny's been absolutely crystal clear that he sees his role as ensuring smooth transition to his successor and securing the financing for the Punt Road redevelopment. We were literally a week ago, talking about how Benny came in and recognised that getting the club on a stable, well-resourced footing was the most important thing he could do, rather than riding the week-by-week crisis roller coaster of a struggling club. And, you know, the discipline and long-term vision that, you know, he's showing now, he showed then. Yeah. We are in particularly stupid times for football media, it feels like.
Yeah, look. No, I completely agree. About the Benny leaving point. Mm. And, like, a side issue, like, I know there's been...
It's a really big, complicated deal. Like, and which he's been working on for years.
No, frankly, I wish, as you know my feelings about it, frankly, I wish Benny wasn't so damn competent, because I know it's going to happen. Another sort of, so just since we're talking about random issues, sort of Caro has joined other people saying that the president should speak more and take the pressure off Uze a bit. Look, I completely, and fans and people's judgment I respect, including Caro, think that. Look, my personal take on it is, while the club is in an injury crisis, the club is not actually in a crisis. Like, we've got heaps of cash. Success was so close. And the coach is newly hired, so like no one's saying that the coach should be sacked. Well, you know, there was a joke thread on Big Footy, but I don't actually think it was real. there were no threads on it. There were no posts on it, and I think it was sarcastic, but ironic, sorry. But look, I don't need an emergency communications response from the club because I'm like, it's... call us in 2 years. Like, look at Hawthorn. Look at what Hawthorn just did on the weekend. Look at what North Melbourne's gone through. Look at what West Coast went through until Harley Reeves saved their soul. That's a crisis when you look at your third year down the bottom of the ladder. We are a terrible team right now. There is a really massive big excuse for them being terrible, and it's crap right now. We're not competitive, but I don't see this as something where I need the president to reassure me that coach's job is safe. That's just my personal take. So I just wanted to get that off my chest. And no, I also don't think the club, on flip side, is the club doesn't need their favorite pet journalist to do stories like we had 3 weeks ago saying, oh, the Richmond's got heaps of good young players. Their future, they're already starting their future. Yeah, we've got some young players. So does everyone else. It's early days. Like Uze's been infinitely dignified in his press conferences. He speaks well in them. Mm. He talks systematically on it. He takes some of the blame. I think that's fine.
Yeah. No, mostly I just feel sorry for him. It's a tough game.
Oh, yeah. I feel like hugging him after I watch those press conference.
Yeah. The one random thing to finish before we talk about the VFL, I was actually randomly reading it's a sort of coffee table book on the AFL coaches who've coached 500 games. And look, bless there's a good chapter on Tom Hafey. Hafey, he coached in 10 grand finals. I mean, there's a draw in there as well, but 10 grand finals in 15 years. Gee, he could coach. And one of the things he talks about, his complete disdain for tactics is kind of humorous. But the other thing he talked about, he would call up all of his players every Friday night before a game, because they always played on the Saturday when he was at Richmond. Every week he'd call them up. To see how they were going, talk about their football. And I just thought, for all the extent to which we've discovered connection, like, he knew instinctively about, the importance of players, feeling like they're a team and being there for one another and of listening to them and for them to feel like they were part of something bigger. It was quite striking.
Also, just quietly calling your players on a Friday night is a good way to check that and not have them on the piss. But they're probably in that era, probably, unless...
Yeah, they're all landlines, they better be home.
Probably in that era, that probably wasn't as big as a problem, unless aside from a few celebrated cases. So, VFL,
yeah.
The dream is the dream is also over. Well, bad game. Lucky Street. No Richmond VFL.
No. However, we had Caleb Smith had a pretty good game. Clearly, the best of. Well, we had Nate Smith, who did a knee. Ryan, who sort of toiled, Samson Ryan, who toiled away in the ruck. And Jacob Bauer got injured. Like, that's it. That's all out. We had three guys making their debut, and we got flogged by a Sandringham team that had loads of St Kilda listed players. Like, it wasn't much fun.
No, I think Samson actually went off in the last quarter. They rested him. I think they might seriously be setting him up for next week.
Yeah. Oh, and I don't think Cozzy played actually. Oh no, Cozzy did play. Sorry. And kicked a couple of goals again. Caleb Smith. It's worth noting they flew up to Brisbane as the emergency. Who would have played if there was a late out? So he, you know, he might be fairly close. And it is. It does sap some of the joy out of. I mean, the Davos are great, and I love seeing them every time. But when, you know, when they're almost getting, they're the last one picked, like, how much, it does take some of the luster away.
It does. Contrary to what has been, we should be out of the field three emergencies this week, shouldn't we? Just.
Yes, just. Well, and particularly if any of Baker and Grimes and Graham, Trezise, can all come back? Maybe Banks.
Yeah, no, LaFau will be out because he's LaFau into the concussion protocol.
Oh, yeah, of course, you're right. Yeah, possibly Banks. Although that was a pretty nasty concussion for to only have 1 week off.
True. Actually, by the way, on the list of heartbreaking injuries, it won't make the top 10, but Mansell was pretty gutted as he walked off.
Yeah, that wasn't great.
But it wasn't just that he was concussed. He knew he was concussed, and he was really upset that he wasn't going to get to play footy for a few weeks, which is pretty admirable considering what we're playing like.
We're literally at the stage, so now we've got three ACL injuries with Kipkis, Clark and Naismith. So, you know, do we take all three potential picks in the mid-season draft to restock the VFL team? Like, we're, you know, particularly take another ruckman so we don't run out of them? Like, tough times.
Yeah, and so did Ollie Hayes Brown play in the amateurs this week?
I don't know. He didn't play VFL.
Yeah, so you wonder whether he's close. Anyway, that's getting on the nichest of nichest ends of podcast material.
Even for us. Would you like to hear some Essendon slander?
Please do.
So, second on the ladder, a lot of positive press. What are there warning signs? Well, blissfully so, when I did some research. Percentage just above 100, not even in the top 10 of best teams by percentage. How many wins do they have against top 8 teams?
Off the top of my head, none.
Oh, one. They beat a injury depleted Giants a couple of weeks ago. So one win from four games against top 8 teams. 6-0 versus teams 11th or lower, three of which are by less than a goal. So easy schedule, had some luck in close games. The flip side to that is they're still 44-point favourites.
Yeah, and Darcy Parrish just got injured. Yes. You know how we said a few weeks ago about Western, but like, I don't even really care that the Lions were flogging us that much. The crowd was completely flat. It was really weird. It sounded on the TV like they were booing the whole time. The Western Bulldogs pretty flat about losing to the Essendon, getting flogged by Essendon at the G in Dreamtime.
Would be painful.
That would hurt. So it does matter to me that, that we put in. I would love it if we covered the spread.
but what we've been reduced to. They are a very good clearance team. Oh, not very good. Quite good clearance team. And a bit like a bit like the Lions. It's sort of what that translates. They've got the third biggest disposal differential, and they've had fewer shots on goal than their opposition. So, yeah, it's not... They're far from a perfect team. Oh, and actually, for what it's worth, Harrison Jones out this week as well.
And Sam Draper.
Yeah, so that... And that's of their... All of their off-season recruits are going reasonably well. Like, McKay was the big dollar signing. He's been pretty good. Goldstein, it's been a handy pickup since Draper's been injured. Gresham's been fine. He always plays well against us, unfortunately. But yeah, it's Sam Durham has been annoyingly good. He's gone from solid to pretty impactful. Jai Caldwell actually has bought some needed grunt to their midfield, because Ben Hobbs has been, he's been fine. Stringer's got 19 goals on the season, as yet again the media breathlessly reports on him coming up on another contract. It's hard to get excited by any of it.
No, I am. I do. I've said offline to you that sort of my dream, the ultimate dream for me for an Essendon season, is for them to finish top of the ladder and then lose two straight finals.
That would be quite good.
I was joking, when they won, because I've won a couple of lucky ones and they've beaten some bad teams, as you've already pointed out. When that started to happen, I was like, oh, well. It's happening again. You know, they're going to make the eight and then they're going to lose again. There is a fear that there's a little, they're getting close enough to being good that they might win a final, that I'm worried, but they're not actually good. But they have improved slightly. I am worried for this game. That point is, they're a good clearance team and they've got a high possession rate, so they're good on the spread.
What does that sound like? That's a problem.
Yeah. Am I completely naive to have a bit of hope?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm irrationally optimistic. Now, you could say that any optimism at the moment is irrational, but I don't know. It's a big occasion, and it's a great occasion. And surely, we get a response from the playing group of so many proud players just saying this is unacceptable. And, yeah,
you know, a match that means so much to the club.
Yeah,
shocking that Morris can't play in his jersey, but
I know
his nephew's out there, and Marlon's still out there.
Shame for Mansell as well.
I wonder if that was in his head when he was so upset.
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows? He just had a nank forearm across his head, so you know, perhaps it's not quite fair to read too much into what he was thinking.
That he's thinking about the schedule at that exact moment.
Yeah, indeed. But yeah, look, I will be there grimly watching, just hoping we hold on and hoping we have something more optimistic to talk about in next week's podcast.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.